Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show for a new week. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on the other side of the glass. My friend John Couch. He'll be engineering and producing our program to make sure all goes well, as it, I would say, 99.9% of the time does, which I am very thankful for. It's Buckmaster. It's Monday. It is March the 9th, 2020, broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, podcasts available 24/7, buckmastershow.com, live line number 790-2040. We begin the program as we have each Monday since we launched the show in January of 2011 with the Monday Political Face-Off, a different team of commentators with us each week, and we welcome back to the program Aaron Rottenstein. Aaron, I believe, was at one time the treasurer of the local Pima County Democratic Party, but then he had some family issues with a new family really coming along, and really it was too much. But you're certainly, it's safe to say, Aaron, have been politically active in your young life.
I think that's pretty fair. Yeah.
Bruce Ash is with us, and Mr. Ash, in his life has been, I almost said young. Well, he's young at heart. Bruce Ash, in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, is seated to my right. Bruce, how are you?
Good. You know, the other day, Jim Click asked me if I'd been committeeman for 8 years. I said, no. I said, I could have been celebrating my bar mitzvah year this year as the national committeeman. I've been around for almost 14 years, actually.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. We love Moe's Gallery. At least Bruce and I do, and a lot of other people, two of the three people. I don't know if Aaron's been over there.
Aaron, I've been in there.
Okay,
yeah,
there you go.
For my dad.
So
yeah.
We do have, we make it unanimous here in the Green Thing studio. Everybody's on board. Mo, we all love you. Family owned and run since 1985. Family owned business, does very well. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, it is the go-to place for what you need for any of your framing needs, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. It really was very serendipitous to have Aaron with us today on the program, and it's been a while, and I say serendipitous not just because we value his political opinions, but what Aaron does for a living is counseling with people about how to manage their money. So I'm really glad you're here, and I'm just want your take, Aaron, on this free fall, pretty much, on the stock market, and to put perspective on it, in 2008, when all was said and done, we were about 45-47% down, I think, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know,
and it took 4 years to recover, and I think when the recovery comes here, whenever that bottom is reached, I don't know if it's tomorrow or a week, but I believe the recovery will be very swift.
We'll see. You know, that's certainly a possibility. We've never had this much drawdown this quickly before. You know, some perspective. We've had 5 weeks in modern stock market history where we've lost more than 10% in a week, which is what happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of last week alone. It's this week, September 2007 leading into 2008. It was September 11th, 2001, the dot-com bust in right. The summer of 2000, and then savings and loan in 87.
Right.
It depends how you see this one, and I think time's going to tell. You know, the market history is where we've had you know, financial and economic impetus for that kind of drop. It took us a while to recover.
What are we down now since this
1819 points today?
Yeah,
okay.
We're down,
but I mean, what's the total? What percentage are we down since this?
About 20%.
It's pretty close to 20.
Okay, so as I understand it, and you know, Shelley is normally our Tuesday money show, but today we need to talk about money. From what I understand, correction territory was over 10%. Over 20% is bear market territory.
Yeah, that's historically what we've called a bear market. Yeah. Now, you know, some of that gets kind of wonky because, you know, the last quarter of 2018, for example, the S&P was down 19.8%. The fact that it didn't cross 20, I don't think really changed people's feelings on that, you know, I guess, correction, since it wasn't a bear market. You know, and I think that's the broader thing. You know, the decimals are, you know, really, I think, secondary to, you know, how this stuff kind of impacts people's lives on an individual basis.
Bruce, what is the political damage? And I listened to your interview. It was very interesting. You have a good coup for you on your show on Saturday, Inside Track, for folks that don't know. You host the program, 1 o'clock.
They should.
1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. It was interesting. You had the basically, he's going to be the spokesperson for the Trump reelection campaign, right?
Well, Mark Lauder is the director of strategic communications. Mm-hmm. So Mark is not just handling the actual communications himself, but directing a whole host of surrogates and spokespeople around the country. Also, you know, digital as well as printed media and so on. So he's really, you know, kind of overseeing the entire area. And I think the question that you may be referring to is I suggested that nobody can really predict, you know, what will happen when something bad happens. Okay, you know, the virus or some business thing or some, you know, worldwide sort of cataclysmic event. You can't control it, but you can manage it. And that's partly what's going on now, both from, you know, on the medical side, not just in the United States, but around the world, as well as in the financial area, where actually before this, all this 20% or so pullback has occurred, there was already talk about more of a middle class tax reduction. There's now probably going to be a middle class stimulus, particularly for those people, not the big boys, but the people who are in, for example, the airline business,
tourism industry,
and all of these other areas that are being impacted today, and likely more. I guess the good news is the cases in China are beginning to
less
dramatically.
Less than 40 cases now daily. And now that you bring up China, I don't know if this has gotten a lot of publicity, but all 14 of the hospitals that were built in like a couple of weeks are now closed.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I was talking to a business partner of mine earlier today, and the thing that we both are concerned about is the amount of pharmaceuticals that are being produced outside of this country and not having control of that supply chain.
Yeah, the supply chain. This could change a lot.
I think, you know, I'm not trying to be a Pollyanna and look for like, you know, the happiness farm story here, but there may be some significant changes in biomedical infrastructure that come out of this, which I think everybody would be a benefit and a winner in.
But Aaron, President Trump will be judged on how he is and how he will handle this crisis.
Absolutely. You know, and you'd asked what the political fallout is on this, and I think you have to look at it in two ways. You know, one, there's the economic ramifications for this, and it's wonderful to hear Bruce speak the values of Keynesian economics here. It's funny how often Republicans, when they're in charge and things go bad, start looking at things like stimulus, because just a couple of weeks ago, that was socialism. And then you look at the political fallout of it as well. You know, and we have no idea how this is going to, you know, consolidate itself. But what we do know is President Trump has absolutely fumbled the ball the last couple of weeks. We are now, as of this morning, last in the world in terms of testing our population for this thing, absolute last. Mm. And that includes, you know, Iran, who's still running around saying it's only 1 in 12,000 have this, even though nearly half of their senior leadership does. We've, you know, failed to contain this, even though just Saturday, Donald Trump was saying that this was contained. He's, you know, giving out even more dangerous misinformation. He's saying anyone that, you know, thinks that they need a test can get a test. That's absolutely not true. And instead of spending the last couple of months while China was meeting this head on, he's been, you know, his usual rhetoric, his usual bluster, not doing the job that the American people need
him to
do.
Do you think it's going to cost him politically?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to cost him.
Is it going to cost him politically, Bruce Ash?
Well, Aaron has made a point that I think Republicans as well as Democrats have cautioned against, and that's the demonization of this problem with the virus and some of the other things going on around the world. Certainly the drop today in the stock market had in large part something to do with the failure of the oil-producing countries to reach an accord. And you know, the Saudis said, we're just going to flood the market with oil. So it was sort of a two-pronged thing. The president doesn't have control over those things. So as I said, the president and governments around the world are managing through this. And the fundamentals are there. And the more that Democrats decide that they want to demonize and weaponize this entire process, this will not necessarily all fall back on the president. A lot of people are going to remember this when they look at their 529s or their 401ks.
All right, Aaron, hold your thought there because we're going to take our break right here. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Additional support comes from our wonderful favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. And Aaron, I think I've brought this up. It's fairly close to your office.
Yeah, I've been there. It's great.
There it is. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They're doing such a beautiful job. They fired up the grill every morning, have it all ready to go for you, 6:30 in the morning for your breakfast. They're open right now for lunch. It's just a wonderful place to just stop by, have a cup of coffee, order a beautiful lunch. That hot turkey sandwich or the open face sandwich they do actually is not open face. You make it open face with the chicken. That's one of my favorites, the chicken breast. But anyway, check it out, monasdanishbakery.com, and a partnership to all of our Buckmaster Show sponsors with links at buckmastershow.com. We'll continue with the Monday Political Face-Off. Aaron Rottenstein is here, and Bruce Ash. We've got a lot more coming up right after the break.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-888. 6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Our friend Mo over at Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing presents our Monday Political Face-Off. Thank you, Mo. We certainly appreciate your support. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, and we love green things. Bruce Ash is with us and Aaron Rottenstein, and I know Bruce is a huge fan of green things.
Bought a ton of cyclamens and asparagus fern and kind of, you know, juiced up my garden in our courtyard. And I love that place. I think that is the best place. If you're really looking for something that was meant to be grown here in southern Arizona, That's the place. There are some other nurseries that are very nice nurseries, But they sell a lot of things, including the big box stores, but they sell things that don't necessarily grow here. They may look good temporarily, but what you get with a local guy like Jack and his crew.
Jan and Jack, yeah.
Is they are growing stuff and planting stuff for us to use here in southern Arizona.
There you are, Jan and Jack. What a beautiful testimonial from Bruce Ash, Green Things, 3384 East River Road. And, of course, they have Zocalo, all that great merchandise from Mexico.
Jack is also, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He and Stu Johnson from Settlers West have proposed that Howard Turpinning, probably the greatest living Western artist in America, be receiving a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Wow.
And if there's anybody in the arts, particularly in the visual arts, that deserves that kind of an honor, it's Howard Turpinning. And Jack and Stu have been instrumental in it's not done yet, but they're really working hard on getting Howard Turpinning that honor.
Yeah, and does Mr. Turpinning... I interviewed him once back on the TV show, but he is residing still here in Tucson.
In Tucson, yeah. I think out far southeast.
Okay. Aaron Rottenstein with us. And Aaron, you know, before all of this issue with the turbulence in the markets, when I booked you and Bruce as early as like last Friday, I sent you guys an email saying Biden versus Trump, your thoughts. And so now I turn to that question, Biden versus Trump, Aaron Rottenstein.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that I can answer that without responding to what Bruce had said before the break.
Oh, go ahead.
No one's weaponizing anything.
They are.
When
it's
we're
okay.
pointing out that the president
I would
is lying to us.
Deny it.
No one is weaponizing anything when we're pointing out that the president is lying to us. And there are a lot of people in the government that are doing a really good job trying to get information out. He is not one of them, and he's made it harder for them. The CDC's budget's been cut by 19% since Donald Trump took office. He wants to cut another 15% from it this year. You know, we are not, as a country, as capable of dealing with this as we would have been had he not been running the ship that he's been running the last few years. When we look at this election going forward, I think it really crystallizes a lot of the issues Democrats have been running on in our economic agenda and why it's going to win us this election in November. When you look at, you know, things like paid sick leave, you know, paid time off for employees, we're now starting to understand that that's not just a feel-good policy, that that's not just a way to get money in the hands of middle-class families that desperately need it. It's also something that's, you know, vital to the safety and security of our country. When we talk about, you know, wanting to expand Medicare, expand Social Security instead of cutting those things, I think it's very clear now why those types of programs really, really matter. And when we want to, you know, increase funding for, you know, medical research, make sure that, you know, device makers, medical testing companies, companies can't gouge us on prices. The only thing we've heard from the Trump administration about what it might cost if they ever get their act together and get tests out there is that it won't be exorbitant. Not that it shouldn't be free, which it absolutely needs to be. Not that treatment for this disease should be free. It absolutely needs to be.
Mm. All right.
No, he's not weaponizing it at all. Sort of like Chuck Schumer threatening two independent Article III members of the Supreme Court and then denying that he ever said it. Look, there's lots of work that has to be done in managing the crisis that currently is out there. What was the question before on Biden?
This was a simple question that I sent you an email, and Aaron, on Friday, and I think there were three words in my email: Biden versus Trump.
I'll yield my time to Mr. Rottenstein.
Well, I think he just...
They're his guys.
But since the last time we've been on, this race has changed a lot. And, you know, I'll hold myself accountable here, Bill. I think it was probably a year ago we were talking about the presidential.
We were.
And I
we
made
were.
Like three big predictions.
You did.
Number one, Warren wasn't going to win a delegate.
Right.
Biden wasn't going to win a state, and Bernie wasn't going to win the nomination. I think I did pretty good on two of those. I got the Biden one wrong, and I think I would have gotten that one right if they counted Buttigieg's votes in Iowa the night of. But that's neither here nor there at this point. Biden's a very different candidate, and this is going to be a very different election than we were looking at a couple of weeks ago when mm-hmm. Sanders had the momentum. And we're already seeing it. You know,
different in a way, more of a traditional...
I think so, and it certainly opens up the playing field. I think it really does put the Senate in play, and we've seen some early green shoots on that in terms of poll numbers out of North Carolina. Certainly the poll numbers out of Arizona, where Mark Kelly's just cleaning the clock and Martha McSally. But just this week, Bloomberg's committed another $2 million to registering voters in Florida. That's a state that I think is on the table that we weren't really looking at a couple of weeks ago. I think Arizona at the presidential level is, now officially a swing state, where it might not have been had we not had a candidate like Biden that's, really earned his, approval numbers with voters, that has a long-standing history of, being a steady hand in times like this when we need it.
All right, Bruce, now it's your turn.
Well, thank you. Look, I agree with much of what Aaron has had to say about the Democratic side. But let's not kid ourselves. Joe Biden has raised his hand for nearly all of the goofy stuff that not only Bernie Sanders did, but the rest of that very, very leftist field. And America's not buying that. Folks like Aaron have wanted to say over the past 3 years that Donald Trump is stupid and Donald Trump is maybe suffering from dementia or early Alzheimer's.
I'm not interested in giving him any excuses, Bruce.
Joe Biden is a walking gaffe machine. The other night when he won in California, he didn't know.
He lost in California.
I said when Biden got up.
Yeah.
In California.
Okay.
He stood up in front of his supporters and didn't know whether his wife was on his right-hand side or his sister was on his right-hand side. And 30 seconds later, two goofy vegan ladies jump up on the stage, and Jill goes after them. Old slow Joe plugs Biden, was standing there with his mouth hanging wide open, didn't hardly know what the hell was going on. This is not a guy that I would trust running the federal government.
So first things first, if we're going to talk about protesters at presidential rallies, I think we need to talk about what happened in Phoenix. Whether he's your candidate or not, Bernie Sanders is the closest to the White House that a Jewish American's ever gotten. And to see somebody unfurl a Nazi flag at his rally is disgusting.
When was that?
Friday.
Which he did nothing about.
He's had some pretty decent statements about it.
That's horrible.
It was really disgusting, and it's frightening and frustrating that it hasn't gotten as much.
Was that a Democratic rally?
As it needed to happen. Yeah,
a Democratic rally. Hmm.
So can Joe pretty much wrap this up before the convention?
I think so. Yeah. When we look at the next couple of states, Michigan and Washington in particular, those were both states that Bernie Sanders carried 4 years ago against Hillary Clinton. They're both states that he was polling pretty strongly in a couple of weeks ago. Polls today show that Michigan's probably going to go Biden pretty convincingly.
And look at the survey that we've got on the screen here. Arizona public opinion poll Joe holds a huge lead over Bernie in our primary, which is coming up a week from tomorrow.
No, and in a 5 or 6 person race, you know, Bernie's 30-35% that he was able to carry was pretty strong.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't been able to really grow that, and I think that's what's doing it. The other thing that we're seeing here in Arizona is a real remarkable voter registration wave to the Democrats. You know, since the beginning of the year, here in Pima County, 4,500 people have registered as Democrats. Only 2,300 have registered as Republicans. And of that 4,500, 1,500 of them are actually people that were registered as Republicans that are coming in and switching parties. And when you talk to Allison and some of the folks down at the Pima County Democratic Party right now, they're saying every single day somebody's coming in asking for registration forms so they can change from Republican to Democrat.
You know, we can give anecdotal stuff like that. Something
I
like,
just gave real numbers.
Something like between 20 and 25% of people who show up at Trump rallies now are not Republicans. About 30% of them have never voted
well,
in
Bruce,
election.
You wanted me to take accountability for a person holding a Nazi flag at a Democratic rally, and now you're saying you don't have to take accountability for the people at Republican rallies? Which one is it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You're saying they're not your people.
No, we're saying that they're disaffected Democrats, Latinos and Black Americans who are showing up at Trump rallies.
I thought it was laughable over the weekend.
that there was this whole thing about how Trump needed the rallies. George Stephanopoulos said this. Trump needed these rallies in order to build him up. You know what? You guys have never been to a Trump rally. They line up 2 days in advance to see him, not the opposite.
All right. Aaron Rottenstein, thanks for coming in, Aaron.
It's always a pleasure.
Good to see you. Bruce Ash, hope you guys have a great week.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, proud to present the Monday Political Face-Off. Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Jan and Jack, the owners of Green Things, I'm sure are very happy with the lovely testimonial that Bruce Ash gave during our Monday political face-off, talking about what a beautiful go-to place that is for all of his needs. We just had some information. Pam Krim is with me. Pam from the Better Business Bureau, CEO. Pam, I've just been informed that the Tucson Festival of Books has been canceled because of for health reasons. The coronavirus has been the reason for the cancellation. And this event, Pam, as you know, has turned out to be one of the big ones in the country.
It is, and it's very important to our community.
Yeah.
I was concerned about this last week when I kept hearing of the authors canceling out, and it's a tough one. It's a real tough one, and you know, I regret that they're having to cancel it. I guess I regret what we're all going through.
Yeah.
But I think we all need to take a deep breath.
We do, and you know, this run on toilet paper.
Right.
And everything else. Maybe if we could just take now that we all have our toilet paper in all stocked up, maybe we could all just take a collective deep breath. You know, we're going to get through this.
Yes.
It is time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We do welcome Pam Krim, CEO of the BBB. Pam, are the numbers in now on the BBB's 2019 scam tracker?
Yes. First, good morning to everyone. Thanks, or good afternoon for having us here.
There you go.
And yes, the numbers are in, and it's interesting. You know, it's a $6 billion industry, and we had over 37,000 different reports on specific scams. And in that process, our algorithms tell us that by people going to BBB.org and linking to the scam tracker, we've been able to save people a potential of $42 million of which they've been scammed
on. Wow, that is huge.
So we feel it's a big service that we have to bring forward.
Pam, did I hear you say the scam industry is a $6 billion, B with a B, dollar market?
Yes. So it covers everything from, I can go through what the top four are, but you know, now we've got people taking advantage of others with products to ward off the flu.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's a great example of price gouging as well as scamming and just not getting anything.
Like offering, you know, a mask for the coronavirus.
That doesn't filter properly.
That doesn't filter properly,
right.
Or you're going to send money and you're not going to get any product.
Right, right. And you know, it's the same. It's so unfortunate because it's the same thing with the fires in Australia and et cetera.
Sure.
People taking advantage and the money not going to where you think it is or not getting what you think it is.
So let's talk about the top scams. Employment.
Yes. So that's that upfront. It really gets the youth when they are being recruited to a new business and they say, great, we really love to have you. Congratulations.
Sure.
Could you send us $500 and we'll send you your training materials?
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. It's a very large scam for that age. The newest one that we have that went from a very, very low position in the list last year has gone up to the second, and that's the cryptocurrency scam.
Oh my goodness.
And that's when
is that on the rise?
It is, very much so, and it's the largest dollar block that people are losing. The average loss is $3,000 versus $500 or $600, which is
that
the
was
natural.
A minor blip a couple of years ago. Now it's moved up.
So now they're getting to you in the beginning of it, having you invest improperly. Or they're when you're cashing out.
Oh, my.
So you need to be real careful who you're working with in that industry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, the big push is the whole online purchases, which you and I've talked about before to our listeners. Fake checks and obviously the advance fee in order to get anything.
So you just send some money and we'll get you going, right?
I'll be your new best friend.
Sure. Who's getting scammed by age?
Well, you take a look at the younger population under 50.
Right.
You're really getting the employment. That's the one they're getting. What's real interesting is we've gotten a lot more information around the romance scam, which is so disheartening.
Oh.
And that's that age group between 55 and 64.
Looking to hook up with someone.
Right.
Mm.
And there's a lot of wire transfer of large blocks of money, not a couple hundred, but large blocks of money. In the 65 and plus, we're seeing a lot of the travel and vacation and timeshares.
Yeah.
That's where the scammers are playing in a large way.
And the scammers love to impersonate government groups and probably Social Security's up there.
Right. So there's a whole list of those that have imposters. Or impostering. What's the right word? Anyways.
Impersonating.
Impersonating.
Yes,
thank you.
There you go.
So it's Social Security.
Yep.
It's the Publishers Clearinghouse, Microsoft, obviously the IRS, Apple, Amazon, Medicare, Walmart, and believe it or not, the Better Business Bureau.
Really?
Yes. People will say that they are us, and they'll be calling them and trying to get them out of their bad ratings or et cetera. And we never do that.
Oh, my
goodness.
Never,
ever do that.
So you guys have gotten hooked up in this, being impersonated.
Oh, yes, because because what we do every day makes us susceptible. And then obviously another example of that would be TEP in our own community, which we work closely with, where they'll call a business owner and say, you have, 7 hours or we're going to turn you off, pay us $700 or whatever.
What's your profile? What's your typical scammer? Are they trying to be real polite or how do they work?
They're getting more and more polite because they're figuring that piece out. But there's always a polite sense of urgency and there's always most likely either something terrible's going to happen.
Right.
Or the deal's too good to be true. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's on either end of the spectrum.
Right, right. So they need money in a hurry to make this happen, to make it right.
Right.
Yeah, so they're trying to get you to, it's a call to action.
Right. Yeah. And, some of the scams, they say, gee, I've been overpaid and I need you to take my cashier's check and go ahead and cash that for us. And then you can take the overage that we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because people don't realize that cashier's checks can bounce.
Really?
It takes 2 to 3 weeks. So then they come back and collect that money out of your account, not the person that handed you the check.
And what about this effort they try to take over your screen sometime on the computer?
Well, the Microsoft one.
Yeah.
And they're really good at it.
Yes,
they'll even give you callback numbers.
Uh-huh.
That they'll answer the phone. So always you need to go hang up and go outside of the transaction, right? So you need to go to the Microsoft site or call a number that you have for Microsoft.
Yes. And public Wi-Fi, Pam, that public Wi-Fi use of personal information, be very careful with that one.
It is. I was fortunate enough to participate with the Junior Achievement Program last week with about 80 or 100 young high school students, extremely bright. And the best way to say it to them is what we say, is when you go into a public Wi-Fi and you're on your phone, that's like leaving your wallet behind.
Yes.
So if you go to your banking or go to Venmo or any of those things, it's like leaving your wallet there on the table.
IRS tax scams, want to talk about that real quickly.
Yeah, that's an interesting one because it's timely right now. And they say, Get your information to the IRS as quickly as possible. You'll have less opportunity to have problems. And watch out for if you get a letter saying there's been somebody that has already filed in your behalf.
Yes.
Call the IRS immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And again, always protect your Social Security number and find a way to make sure you check out your tax preparer and make sure that they aren't fraudulent and that they're very real. It's not just some virtual place.
What's this identity protection PIN?
Well, if you've been a victim of fraud with your IRS taxation, mm-hmm. then you have the opportunity to be issued this PIN number. So
really?
You can go onto the IRS site and see this, but they will issue. So it's kind of like that second level of security.
Uh-huh.
So not only do you go on the site for your own information, but mm-hmm. then you have to give them this PIN in order to ensure that's you.
How do we get more information about what you guys are doing?
Well, you can always go to bbb.org mm-hmm. and go on our website and
do
any
query.
You
get a lot of hits on your website.
We do.
A lot
we have
hits.
A very busy website,
very
nationally
busy.
And locally. We're real proud of that.
And what do you want to say in closing about the whole coronavirus scam thing? What should you really be looking out for?
Well, there's no... There's no great deal out there, right?
No.
So if you're looking for products, make sure it's a legitimate place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to, and you can always look up on our website and check out that company, or if you're trying to make a donation, don't mm-hmm. forget too, you can go to our website because we also display nationally nonprofit organizations that support those that are in need.
All right. In time of crisis, you guys are always there, and you're there even not in a crisis. BBB.org. We appreciate what you do, Pam Krim. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. When we continue, we will have our candidate conversation. Steve Spain is waiting in the waiting room, what we call the green room. Our green room's kind of, it's like a bluish color, so it's not really green. But anyway, Steve's next, running for District 1 supervisor right after this.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a nice getaway, it's only about a three-hour drive to a beautiful area. The people over there are so friendly. SouthwestNewMexico.org. That's where we suggest you log in and check out before you make the trip. You'll see all sorts of ideas of what to do and where to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Again, their website, SouthwestNewMexico.org. It's time for our candidate conversation, what we call here 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice. And we are archiving all of our candidate interviews, making it easy for you. Kind of a central clearinghouse. Of course, all of my shows are posted at BuckmasterShow.com, which contain some candidate all of the candidate interviews. But the clearinghouse is KVOI.com. And our interview today with Steve Spain, who is running as a Republican in District 1, will be also posted there. Steve, it's nice to meet you, sir.
It is my great privilege, Bill. Great to meet you. Thank you for having me in.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and why you're getting involved in this political race to become a Pima County Supervisor in District 1, which is the district I live.
Well, it's a great district to be in. I've been there the past 15 years of my life. I'm native to the Tucson area. I will tell the joke that I actually, believe it or not, I did grow up in Green Valley.
What?
How
do you grow up in Green Valley?
There are two neighborhoods down there that are not age restricted. And for anybody who wants proof of that, you would think this is a joke. This is honest truth. I actually received an AARP card in the mail last week.
Did you really? Oh my God. Assuming that, yeah.
I'm not quite 40 and they apparently want me. So, you know, Green Valley has that effect,
yeah,
I guess.
So you grew up down there.
Grew up in the Tucson area down in Green Valley.
Did you go to local schools here?
I did, and I graduated the U of A. I got a double major in management information systems and operations management, mm-hmm. and parlayed that into an IT career in the hospitality industry for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. I spent about half of that on the America's Division team with Starwood Hotels and then with Marriott after Marriott bought us out.
Yeah.
I was responsible for the PC side, the individual computer side of the conversion. I got 18,000 computers off of Starwood's network onto Marriott's across the Americas.
Oh my gosh, that was huge.
It was a lot of work. They sent me from Toronto, Canada in February, that was misery for a desert rat, down to Montevideo, Uruguay, and from coast to coast here. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun. I got my piece of it done under budget, and I had a schedule, and I was very proud of that. It was a lot of work.
That Marriott conversion, picking up the whole Starwood properties, was in the hospitality industry huge.
Earth-changing.
So, have you been a conservative all your life or what?
I would say so. I define myself these days as a constitutionalist who's very much in favor of a limited federal government, limited state government, limited local government. That's kind of the values I grew up with. And that's what I've further defined as I've learned more, as I've grown. For the past 7 years or so, I've written for the Arizona Daily Independent, and one of my favorite targets, let's say, has been the Board of Supervisors and a lot of what happens in those chambers. And that was how I initially got to meet Allie Miller and tracking her and writing about what she did on the board and some of the malfeasance and other things that happened in the boardroom that I didn't like so much.
What, in your opinion, where has that board gone wrong, Steve Spain?
Gosh, they could do a much better job of stewardship of the funds if you want to try to sum it all up in one sentence. Mm-hmm. You look at the condition of the roads. We have more than enough money coming in from the state to do a much, much better job with the roads, and we just haven't prioritized that. We've got a bowling alley now. We've got a balloon port. We've got all these wonderful little projects that somebody seems to think are fun, but we're missing the mark on the fundamentals, and we need to do better at that. We're not.
What about pay-as-you-go for the roads?
I've got some concerns about that. I think it's an okay first step. I'm glad that we're at least changing the focus a little bit. But at the end of the day, Bill, as I've been researching this, I am convinced it is actually a new tax. The way they're doing it is as we pay off debt and as the secondary property tax rate naturally decreases, they are increasing the primary tax rate, a portion of that, 60% of that decrease. Mm-hmm. So the net result for you and me, property owners in the community, is what looks to be a tax decrease, but they've had to create a new tax when, again, we're already getting so much more funding. And when you look at the horizon for PAYGO and for the total amount that it'll spend theoretically on roads within the next 5 to 10 years. It's a fraction of what we get on a regular basis. I think the priority is wrong.
That fraction, in your opinion, then has to be increased.
Absolutely, it does. It should be. That's the rightful purpose for those funds. That's what we're getting them from. They're coming from the vehicle license tax and from the HERF, you've heard that term, the gas tax.
You know, the Highway User Fund, exactly. For folks that don't know that acronym. What about other issues, Steve Spain? What else is on your platform besides the condition of the roads and making them better?
Everybody likes to talk about the tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
Those, when I ask people as I'm knocking on doors, what are your top two? And it's invariably roads, then taxes.
Property taxes.
The primary property tax rate in Pima County is roughly 3 times that of Maricopa County. It's obscene how high it is. We can do better than that. I think we need to do a little bit more to promote public safety. I was sitting at a board meeting a few weeks ago, and I think Sheriff Napier kind of... he was put through the ringer on that one and didn't get the support he needed to support our community the way that he wants to.
I'm talking about the
Stone Guard
federal funding that this county has now denied taking that money.
He made a cogent, articulate case for why, and it's not a huge sum of money, but it would have enabled him to put people in a part of the county where he needs to put staff.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're not funding him. If we can build some of these other wonderful projects, but we can't fund the sheriff, why wouldn't we accept funds that would enable us to do that? It didn't make sense to me.
How about programs like helping migrants? Where do you stand on that, Steve Spain?
I am very much Catholic. Mm-hmm. I do not want to see anybody suffer. I don't want to see anybody die unnecessarily. However, I stand for the Constitution. I stand for the sovereignty of this country. I think we're better off preventing people from coming in. But I do believe our Border Patrol and the Sheriff's Department, where they are required to pick up the slack, do a very good job of caring for people who need help, who are in medical distress. We need to continue to help them and then help them back home. There's no excuse for a society to let somebody perish. But we don't need to be welcoming people in outside of the law. Follow the law, get here safely, you'll be fine. There's no reason to try to do it illegally. You're taking your life into your own hands, and anything that we do that supports that is detrimental to our society, to those people, to ourselves. It's wrong.
This is your first run for office?
Yes.
Tell me how this experience has been. What's it like? You know, you've written about political campaigns. What's it like to be the guy, the candidate, the guy or the woman involved?
It's surprised me in a number of different ways.
Bill. How so?
For starters, fortunately, I'm at a good point in my career where I can take the time. It is a big
time
investment
consuming.
Time. It is a full-time job being out there campaigning,
yeah.
Which is to be expected, I suppose, if you really think about it, but nobody really thinks about that.
So it'd be hard to have like a full-time job and do campaigning well.
Not impossible, but yeah, it would build to the burden,
sure,
of it.
But what else have you learned?
It has been amazing the conversations I've had with folks when I'm knocking on doors, introducing myself. I cannot tell you how many people have invited me into their living rooms and had phenomenal conversations.
In this day and age, that sounds crazy, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, we hear the doorbell at my house. My wife and I think that it's Amazon dropping a package, and we don't think twice.
Exactly.
It's amazing. And I've genuinely value some of these conversations, some of these experiences I've had with people who have had phenomenal careers, who are still in the midst of phenomenal careers, who have great perspective on what's going on in Pima County and bring in perspective from wherever home was before.
We have an incredible talent pool, Steve Spain, in this town. People who've moved here from other places that still are vital people that can contribute to this community.
Absolutely there. And it's funny, my mother was raised just outside of Chicago. It's amazing how many people I meet.
What town? I'm from
Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
And it's amazing how many people I've met just in these past couple months or so who are from the Chicagoland area. This is the popular place to be.
Well, you're talking to one of them. All right, Steve Spain, where can people find out more about you and the campaign?
I like to make it easy. VoteSteveSpain.com. On Facebook, VoteSteveSpain. There's also Twitter out there, and you can feel free anytime, shoot me an email, Steve@VoteSteveSpain.com. Spain, just like the country.
All right, Steve Spain, pleasure meeting you. Thank you
very
much.
My pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
And the interview with Steve Spain, along with all of our conversations with the candidates, will be posted on our clearinghouse, KVOI.com. I want to make it easy for everyone from our three local talk shows that deal with politics, this program, Zach's program, Tipping Point, and Wake Up Tucson. When we interviewed the candidates, we'll then put them up on at the clearinghouse. All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mr. Spain, wishing everybody a great afternoon, and John Couch, my engineer producer, Dave Ramsey, and his fine program talking about money. That's next on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk.